Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 251 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always, with me this week, and most weeks in fact, is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey everyone.
Back to talk about some of our favorite subjects as we always are, Ben?
Yeah.
The basketball and basketball video games, the NBA Finals are underway. We have a couple of news items and a couple of topics that were suggested to us that we couldn't make on last week's show because we had quite a few topics to cover, but we are going to hit them up this week. And we're going to start out with an article from Polygon about NBA Live's future. This is in the wake of the Game Informer article that we talked about last week. And Ben, it goes into a little bit more detail. It has some more quotes pulled from Sean Grady about the future of the game. And it's more good news, obviously, expanding a little bit on what we talked about last week. And I mean, I certainly like that quote about all the modes getting a little bit of love at some level. That appeals to me, knowing that there's going to be that attention paid to the modes, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not all just entirely focused on the one feature and that. So, you know, the better that they can implement some extra depth to every mode, and that is definitely what the game needs right now.
And gameplay is obviously going to be paramount. The Polygon article talked about things like the on-ball defense system, which I think was pretty well done in NBA Live 18, actually. The jostle system and being able to steal and having to engage and everything. There were still some canned moments on steals and whatnot, and fouls, I should say, steals versus fouls. But I did like the defense in Live, and although there's a little bit of, I guess, AI cheese where they're able to keep up with you and really stick to you like glue, I think that kind of brick wall defense needs to be addressed from the CPU point of view, especially on the more difficult, or the higher difficulty levels, I should say. But generally speaking, the defense in Live 18 was quite impressive.
Yeah, you know, that was one thing that really stood out even when I'm playing back in May last year and at the event was, it was really cool to see. And again, when, you know, we went to the couple of the floors, like the two floors, and going through and talking to some of the actual developers and that, and they're showing off how the systems work and that, you know, and how they sort of explained how the defense and that strategy works, and that is really cool. It was like, wow, they're actually doing some really cool improvements. It's not totally the canned thing, and you actually have a chance to actually, you know, counteract and all that stuff. So, yeah, the system that they showed and the example that they showed was awesome in that sense. And then getting to see and playing it on more hands-on with it, you know, it made that element of that sort of chess game a bit more fun and that stuff. So yeah, and how you're able to counter it, and you felt like you're getting rewarded too, especially, you know, when you're able to hold your, even if it was a CPU opponent, or you're holding you know, another user's opponent to like a 24-second shot clock violation, you know, you felt rewarded in that sense that you did everything good to try and prevent a good shot, or you're trying to get a shot up, or even if they get, you know, have to end up taking a bad late shot, you know, you sort of felt good that you were in pretty much control of those sort of situations and that, so you didn't feel so entirely left out by, you know, a bad AI or a bad play moment in that sort of sense. So,
and that's been big, because defense has always been an issue. I think you go back to the really early basketball games, really the best defense was just to score a lot of points, basically, and hope that you get a couple of stops to break the tie, basically.
Yeah.
So they have actually improved defense. Like over the last 20 years of basketball gaming or so, or more, I guess now, they really have put that more of attention on defense and both the AI and also the tools that you have from the control point of view. Offense has never really been a problem in basketball games. I mean, there's been problems with play calling or the right players taking shots, but as far as being able to shoot the basketball and score points, it's never really been an issue like defense. So that was really refreshing to see. And you know, we talked about what we want to see from the gameplay, the smoothness in the animations, the better animations, more strategic play, all that stuff. It sounds like they're still going to be working towards that, which is absolutely good news. There is one quote that we're pulling here that's rather interesting, because it's, you kind of wonder what it really means. But basically, Sean's talking about a goal of creating a game for a, quote, younger, new demographic. And I do find that a little bit puzzling, because, I mean, Live should be aiming for the core demographic, I think. I think they can pick up a lot of people who are disgruntled with NBA 2K, so they really should be working towards similar goals. Not doing everything like 2K, don't get me wrong, but I mean, what is this younger demographic? I mean, the younger demographic doesn't remember Live when it was good. When Live was the main leader, I should say.
And I think that's maybe where they're trying to go with and try and, you know, that sort of that perception in amongst the younger users, you know, the game's not very well known and that sort of sense. So they want to try and regain them back. That's my take on it.
Okay.
And I'm hoping it's not, you're not trying to
take in a bad direction kind of thing that's going to...
More sort of a kiddie way kind of play in that sense. I think it's more trying to I think it's trying to get their attention back and say, look, we're not that sort of stale old guy that you sort of heard things about. You know, we're actually, you know, we're a relevant product in that sort of sense. And so I think it's that sort of trying to reverse that stigma from the younger generation because they...
Only know Live as the game that never comes out or has the problems.
Or, you know, the younger generation not knowing how good, like, Jordan and Pippen were, or even how good the 90s basketball was and all that stuff. So, you know, compared to today's where it's a little bit softer standard and all that stuff. So,
I like where you're going with this.
So, that's what I'm hoping that that's what they're going for.
I mean, I can see that, but I also see the words like talking about how, it's a game that's fun for a 12-year-old or a 65-year-old to pick up and play. And that is certainly, a pick up and play is definitely important because sometimes 2K can be off-putting in that respect. But I also hope that Live doesn't go too casual, because if it goes casual, it's going to fail. Because the people who are really wanting Live to succeed are the ones who are used to that more sim experience and want that sim experience from 2K, not getting it from 2K or would like an alternative. So I still think there needs to be that depth and that strategy there. Maybe if they can approach that in a more fun way or a more accessible way than 2K, that is the hook, and I think that could be really big if that's what they mean. But I really hope they're not going more casual with it, because if they do, Live, it's going to continue to flounder, because that's not what the sim people want, because then it's kind of mired between arcade and sim, and that doesn't do as well. Like, people like a Jam or a Playgrounds or a Street, and they like a 2K or an old school Live that was more geared towards realism, but they don't like that hybrid that really doesn't know what it is. So I hope it's not about... I hope there's no identity crisis with Live, and I hope it doesn't go too casual.
Yeah, I agree.
And I also hope that they do listen to the old fogies as well with our ideas from the past, because I do think we have our finger on the pulse as to what Live should be and especially what the community wants, because that's a big thing. I mean, who is this newer, younger demographic? They're the same people that are playing 2K, so you've got to appeal to them in some way.
Yeah, well, what I'm hoping, especially like what I talked about, I think it was in last week's or the week before when I was playing the one events, Live events and all that stuff, and how on a few occasions where, you know, the users have wanted people to actually play more sim basketball and all that stuff, and you know, not have the 2K cheesy dribble sort of, you know, dribble, take the 30-foot jump shot sort of stuff, or, you know, five out sort of stuff. So
I remember you saying that, I think last week or the week before when we were talking about the direction.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, you know, if the developers and that, you know, hear those conversations and stuff that's actually happening when, you know, in a mode that's ironically a street mode in a sense, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
That they're wanting to play proper basketball... You know, I think that's a good sign that, you know, that you know, it's not all about wanting just to sort of be that sort of park player that we've seen in the stuff like that in 2K and that. Or so I think there is that shift that's happening where it's people want to play and not sort of cheese or, you know, take advantage of like a broken play element that, you know, that they can sort of use and abuse in that sort of sense. So,
yeah, they want to play basketball, as you said.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's that window there.
And I hope they keep that in mind. And I hope that we're reading too much into it, which is very easy to do when all we have at the moment are just these quotes that sound promising but possibly potentially concerning. But it did stand out to me, and I read that and kind of thought, oh, what is that new demographic? I mean, really, the core demographic is what they should be aiming for, and the younger demographic is what 2K has. So if they want to do that, they're going to have to out 2K or beat 2K in some area, I think, to actually draw people over there. And otherwise, if it is too casual, I think it's always going to be that niche game that's never quite what the hardcore gamers want, and they might still sell games, but it's just not really going to appeal to the masses. It's not going to win that many people back.
Yeah, I was trying not to draw the... Okay, take for instance, you know, the meme with Hans Wollman and how he's dressed as Bart and has the skateboard and says cowbunga, or the... Is it Gary Buscemi, the guy with the crazy eye?
Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi, you know, and how they're being used as a reference.
Kids. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm thinking that's maybe how the younger generation see Live in a lot of ways, and I'm hoping they want to try and break that stigma.
It's not cool. It's not the cool game.
So, yeah.
Whereas 2K, despite the backlash against it, still remains the brand leader and the game that is cool. You know, even this is the same reason we see people continue to bash Live, even though it has made strides, is that it's not fashionable. Although it's starting to change online, it is starting to change as to people saying, oh, Live is trash, Live's got nothing going for it. People say, actually, have you played it? It has actually improved. There are some good concepts there. So it is shifting a little bit, but 2K obviously has such an advantage in that respect that you do need to really capitalize on that market. You need to appeal to that fan base, I should say. So I guess we'll see. I mean, EA Play 2018 is right around the corner. We'll start learning more about it, maybe seeing snippets of the game as well and hearing more about the future. But it did stand out to me as something that's potentially concerning, but hopefully we're just overanalyzing.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case too. Hopefully the case will work for nothing. Actually, we should know more probably by the time we actually record next week for the podcast, if I'm correct. Is the EA Play, is it around the 8th?
I thought it was a couple of days later. We'll double-check that as we go.
Because I know EA and I think even Microsoft are doing theirs, like, technically kind of like a day earlier before the traditional E3 in that sort of sense.
9th to 11th of June.
Okay.
So,
We might actually know something by that morning.
The 3rd, so yeah, I guess we might learn something on the first day, absolutely.
So yeah, that'll be...
So I guess this will be the last week of speculation. Hopefully within a week, it will just look like we're being curmudgeonly and foolish, jumping the gun. But nevertheless, it was something just interesting to bring up. And yeah, I guess, as you say, within a week, you know, that's the problem with the time going so quickly at the moment. I say, 11th of June. But yeah, that is basically 9th to 11th. That is next week. So we will know more. Speaking of getting a glimpse of games before they come out, something that's really fallen off in recent... Well, hasn't really fallen off, I guess, especially with Live. But basically, it's the concept of game demos. And we still get them for Live. But for 2K, of course, we haven't really had a proper demo, a traditional demo, since maybe 2K10, I want to say.
I think so. Because was there one for 14 or 15?
I can't remember getting ones for the current generation. There was a few in the prior generation, but they kind of stopped after a while because they were always so stripped down. But for 2K at least, they are I open the segment saying that they're a thing of the past, but Live certainly does them. But for 2K, the brand leader, again, we haven't really seen those demos, the traditional demos at least, for some years. We have seen the prelude, which has been the introduction to my career, that's jump-started my career and caused problems with pre-order bonuses last year. just another issue with 2K18, unfortunately. So we have seen those previews. Live, we've had those demos as well. They're still cut down. They're not really much bigger than than they were back in the day. But although Live's is pretty substantial these days, and the fact they continue to update it. I continue to contradict myself throughout this segment because I keep thinking of 2K, but Live has been giving us these demos. And but Live really has had to win people back, which is why Live is doing it and 2K is not. As far as Live goes, you know, the question here is about potential game demos for NBA Live and NBA 2K and a bit of their history. I do think we will see another demo for Live 19. I think they really have to because they're still winning people back, so they really need to show people what they've done and how they're improving especially now that they've got a new executive producer and they're borrowing some more technology from Madden. So I do think we'll definitely see an NBA Live 19 demo, much like the NBA Live 18 demo, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. It makes sense to continue with the demo aspect. You know, it's a good way for them to beta test things as well. So, yeah, and I think it'd probably be a similar build to what we'll probably see at E3 or EA Play. Mm. You know, maybe a little bit more, one or two things added to it. And yeah, I think it'll be a good indication of, you know, the improvements that they've made and the extra depth and stuff that they've made. So yeah, they'll definitely have that, and they'll definitely want to, you know, if they've improved or added something in terms of, like, in terms of player control on that, they'll definitely want that feedback. So they'll use obviously EA Play and the demo as a way to test that. So I think they'll have it. And yeah, the live demos of when they had come out had definitely had a lot more depth to them.
Although, just to salvage my bungled intro, they have actually changed from back in the day, because back in the day you'd maybe get two quarters of 2 minutes or something like that. It wasn't really a big glimpse, where now you're getting that full, or you're getting the 5 minute quarters at least, but you're getting a full game. Last year we had with the live 18 demo in 2017, we had the four teams. So they added the two teams, the Rockets and the Celtics, after the launch of the demo, and continue to update it with patches, which they hadn't done in the past. For example, the Live 16 demo in 2015. So really we're getting more in-depth demos from Live than we ever had for any basketball game before, that I can recall at any rate, because you're actually getting the full game and this extra content. With 2K, they've also changed as well, because it's going to this prelude, this kind of a being able to play a little bit of my career, the early stages of my career, and get that player ready to then import into the game, which of course you can do with the live demo as well. It's not just the play now, it is the early stages of the one as well in the live 18 demo. But, and 2K has taken in that strange direction, or I say strange direction, because it doesn't really give you a glimpse of the rest of the game. And if you're not really into the career mode, you know, you can play a little bit of the 2KU and get a bit of a feel for the game that way, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, and you know, you got to put up with all those prompts and all that stuff, so you're kind of really getting interrupted play, and
it's
so
it's not free flowing at all. No.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, for me, like the demo for both games need at least four teams. You know, obviously, you're most likely going to have the two final teams, but you know, maybe two teams that have, you know, varied gameplay styles, and you know, one team obviously from the East, one team from the West, just to sort of make it a bit well, fun.
Yeah, two from the East, two from the West. Maybe if you get the cover player, if they're not on the championship team.
Yeah.
The finalists.
I'm thinking at least, you definitely want at least 6 minutes of gameplay. Like, so if it's like 2 3-minute quarters or something like that, or, you know.
I'd say these days at least 4 minutes of five. Sorry, 4 quarters of 5 minutes, rather.
Because I admit, like, I think 2K did like a 2 minute demo.
It was, it was pointless. And that's why they stopped doing that, because they had to strip it down. They took out the commentary, they took out play calling. You weren't really getting a look at the game. And that was before I was really into 2K. And I'd play the demo and I'd say, this isn't really gripping me, because they stripped it down so much that it didn't play very well. So they had these really great games and they'd taken the lead as far as being the best sim game on the market, but the demos did not reflect it at all.
Yeah, and you know, that was the reason why I was saying at least 6 minutes. I'd admit, like, I'd like to have, you know, 4 minute quarters or 5 minute quarters, just so you can get a little bit more depth to it and sort of get more of a feel for how the actual game plays. Because that 2 minute demo was terrible. It was so pointless. Like,
spent more time downloading it than you did. Actually ever playing it, so yeah.
I think too with the 2K one, it has to allow you to build more than one player. I think we have to be able to get a real feel for some different archetypes to be sure that we've picked the right one to suit our style of play, because once we've picked one, especially for last year's one, it was just pick, you could only go through the whole prelude once.
Yeah.
You couldn't And that was, again, a pointless thing. It was like, well, you know, this build didn't quite work, or you didn't get enough feel for how it came to actually utilizing the player, and you couldn't actually go back and actually experience it again, which was disappointing as hell. And if you look what Live did, you know, they updated their demo, you know, adding two extra teams and other things like that, like we said just a few moments ago. So, yeah, we definitely need more depth, and especially given A, how much, you know, people feel burnt out, obviously, from what 2K18 was in terms of product and all that stuff, and how misleading a lot of things were in terms of things, to the information not really being portrayed very well, or given extremely, or yeah, given out to the community well enough to
Hiding the VC costs, and you brought that up, yeah, up quite a few times, and you were the first one to bring it up on the show.
Yeah,
that how it was really hiding the costs of VC, and it certainly was by not letting us see how much. Because you go back to the 2K17 prelude, and we actually could use VC. That you even buy VC and actually start upgrading your player
straight away
before you even got into the full version that came out a week later. So I totally agree. I think we need to be able to try at least a few different styles to see which one we like and which one works for us. That has been the real drawback. The other thing is, I think there needs to be an option whether you actually do want to take your prelude player into 2K19, because last year they had an issue, especially now that they've really done this whole neighborhood concept with buying the clothes and everything. Because if you went in there with your prelude and you'd pre-ordered, you actually got the pre-order bonuses were locked to that first character that you took in, that first My Player. So if you start a second one, and you don't get any of the pre-order bonuses like the Kyrie Irving shirt and things like that. And yes, they're cosmetic, but it's still the principle of the thing. And it was still a problem they had with the... It shouldn't have been that way. If you get that for the pre-order bonus, you should get that for every new player. But of course, it just goes back to the way they've set up the neighborhood to just be such a VC gouge. But yeah, they need to let us experiment a little bit and play through it a couple of times during that week, see what we like, see what works for us, and then give us the option to take that player in or start fresh in 2K19 itself.
Exactly. And again, with the whole cosmetic stuff, you know, again, this is an area where Live was so much better, where if you created a second player, all the cosmetic items that you got from, you know, from rewards for winning and upgrading
leveling up through the...
Yeah, leveling up and all that stuff, you got to keep all those items, you know, and even like the attribute or traits and stuff like that. If your other player or second player or third player in that, had some of those skill sets and stuff like that, or in their archetypes and builds and that, they again carried over. So, you know, there was better systems there in that sense, and that would piss a lot of people off in terms of, well, if Live can do it and do it in a way that works, why can't you guys do it that's not so cash grab in that sense?
Absolutely, and it all comes back to that. I think there is a need for modes, for demos, because Live still needs to win people back. 2K is doing this whole thing with the prelude and everything. I think it is important, especially as people have buying a new game every year. Need more and more people are getting really burned out on that, especially with the microtransactions. So demos are definitely needed to show just a little bit, but they need to be substantial. If 2K is going to do the prelude, I think that's fine. Just have a play now as well with four teams. That's 2KU, play now with four teams, even if just two teams, because 2K obviously pretty confident about their game, and it is at a fairly good shape for the most part, compared to some of the distance that Live has to go in some respects. Just a quick couple of play now options, 2KU and the prelude. You know, that's preferably being able to do the prelude a couple of times, at least two or three times, I think, if they want to put a limit on it. But once is too little. But they may seem like an outdated concept, I guess, is what I was really wanted to get to in my introduction that I bungled. But they're really not. There's still a call for them, at least for sports games, and I hope they continue. I think Live will. I'm not confident the 2K will. I think they absolutely should. I've got a feeling we're going to see more of the same, though.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I really do hope that they do have more, or if they do the Prelude Road again, that there is more to it, and not just a more. If they're going to add something more substantial to it, not just the 2KU with the constant prompts, I really hope you get an opportunity to
Turn it off. Yeah, even something like that would go a long way, indeed.
And again, skippable cutscenes if you're able to do more than one
Oh yeah,
player.
absolutely. So we have another question here that we were going to get to last week, but we were full up of other topics. Do we ever think there'd be a free-to-play basketball game a la Fortnite? Actually, there are a couple of free-to-play basketball games, Ben. There's Streetball VR, which is obviously a VR game available through Steam. And Freestyle 2, Street Basketball, also available through Steam. Not sure how good they are. I've heard very mixed things about Freestyle 2, and I know there are cosmetic items that you can get, so there is still money that you can put in there with the dreaded microtransactions. But do you think we would ever see a free-to-play basketball, like a big free-to-play, NBA game or big AAA title, perhaps? Well, free-to-play, I guess, not AAA, but. Anyway, do you think we would see another free-to-play basketball game? And if so, how successful do you think it would be?
I think it would take a third company to come in and do it, but if it was out of the two, I think Live would probably go that route first if that was a
Well, I guess they already have with NBA Live Mobile, haven't they? I suppose that is one they have already, but.
and 2K Mobile as well.
So, but let's say one that's available on Steam
On console,
or console,
PSN,
one that's not a mobile game but still free to play, like a Fortnite, for example.
I still think a third company do it, but depends, in the route that EA would go. I think they would probably go first if it was to be out of the two major ones.
Well, what if they pulled Pro-Am out of 2K and made that free to play, like standalone, like the Prelude, but made it, made that incorporated with the league, like the made it, the called it the NBA 2K League, and released a separate one that was free to play, but lots of grinding, microtransactions, things like that.
I think that'll be a nightmare. I think you'd get a lot of people thrown off with that.
So, in other words, that's what's going to happen.
given the price, I play a lot of Fortnite. I haven't bought anything yet. Actually, because they incorporated some basketball stuff, obviously, to coincide with the finals, like some cosmetic items for that. I was actually looking at the pricing for it, and I'm like, ooh, that's a bit steep. And so I think if I wanted to get the one outfit and the glider and the basically like the sort of axe or the thing that you use to gather resources and that, I think it worked out to be about $38 or nearly $40 Australian just for
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me the way it goes with free to play sometimes.
yeah. So it's like, oh no, that's just a bit steep. So yeah, if they're going to go that kind of price route and that kind of stuff, new, and given like the price jumps and stuff like that, even for VC and that, it's definitely not. I think that'll definitely throw a lot of people off. I think there's no way, a certain amount of things should cost like $150 Australian.
No, absolutely not.
That's just insanity right there. You might as well just buy.
Buy a AAA game if you're going
Yeah,
to special edition of a
exactly.
AAA game. And I think there's some expensive DLC for Freestyle 2 Street Basketball as well on Steam. And I think it's going to, if there is a free to play game, I think it's going to be more like that. It's not going to be anything like a Live or a 2K or even the mobile version. It's going to be basically somewhere between an indie game and a AAA release. It's going to be. It could be fun to have, but I don't think it's going to really appeal to the masses the same way a Live or a 2K is intended to, or certainly a majority of basketball fans who are gamers and basketball games. I don't think it's going to really appeal to that. It's going to be people who really want that kind of an RPG street experience kind of thing like that. I don't think it's going to be appeal to the majority of that hardcore fan base. So. It could happen, but I don't think the market is as big for it as a Live or a 2K or even a Playgrounds, Jam Street, that kind of thing. I think that's really what we're going to see more of, arcade games and obviously games like Basketball Classics as well. I mean, that's a concept again. Like I said before, that I never thought that I would. I never thought of it, a throwback game like that. As far as that, but it's, and we will have some more coverage of that coming up. But yeah, free to play, interesting idea, but I think it works better with a game like Fortnite.
Yeah, you know, I think the Fortnite, aside from the costing of like the V-Bucks and stuff like that, is yeah, it works. Although I admit, like, even playing Fortnite and having the few wins, I thought you'd get basically like a V-Bucks reward sort of thing for winning in that. So the fact that you don't really get that is kind of disappointing. It's something I'd like them to sort of see, because it's like you kind of win, but you don't really get much for it in that sort of sense, right. Aside from that sort of sense of like accomplishment that you just beat potentially 100 other people. You kind of want something for the effort in that sense.
So, and I think people are very burned out with the grinding in 2K at this point. Yeah. So probably not the best approach, but still an interesting question.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's about all we have for the news and topic suggestions. Thank you, as always, for submitting those, and I hope you enjoyed listening to our take on the news. And now it's time for us to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Oh, that's a devastating dunk in his face. Oh, he just stole his heart with that dunk right there.
I didn't actually play a lot of basketball games till the weekend, Ben. I was either working on this or that, or getting stuck into Fallout 4. That's what keeps drawing me back in, especially with the announcement of Fallout 76. But I have been playing a bit of basketball games over the weekend, NBA Live. NBA Live mostly, and most recently for a throwback Wayback Wednesday feature, NBA 2K9. And I've got to be careful to say whether I'm going to say it's NBA 2K9 or NBA 2K19, because I'm talking about them both at the same time, and it's getting back and forth. But Live 18 was what I was playing. I played a couple of Ultimate Team games. Same issues that I had with that I've talked about previously, where the AI was very cheap on the All-Star difficulty and above for the tougher challenges. But it's funny, because it's really frustrating, because I was frustrated through most of the game. I'm just like, oh, they need to fix this. That's cheap. I'm just getting screwed over left and right. And then I ended up winning both games with this last push. I was down 5 with about 30 seconds left in the second game, and actually managed to win that one. I got a steal with Chris Mullen and tied it up, and then they made a layup with Damian Lillard, and I hit a 3 with 0.4 seconds left with Mullen again to actually preserve the win. Although Kevin Durant did hit a turnaround fadeaway after the buzzer that went in. So it's just like, yeah, if I'd left any more time on the clock, they would have screwed me over with a ridiculous shot to win it with a player in his face. But it's one of those strange things where it's, and maybe you've had them as well, where you're kind of not enjoying the game because the CPU is playing so cheap, but then you pull it out and you're like, well, that does feel kind of rewarding. I'm kind of glad about that. I mean, I wasn't enjoying all of it while it was happening, but I'm quite happy now.
Yeah, it's like that sort of moment of relief, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I think I've had one or two games like that. More so in the live events side.
Yep.
You know, because some of the times that when you go against those guys, they're kind of like OP. Like I remember the 2014 LeBron that they had for a little while in one of the events, and now he was like really OP. And then Durant's just hitting like threes and stuff like that, and it's like, killer in that sort of sense. So, you know, there's a couple of events where they're really tough, and they'll get like, you know, those AI steals and all that stuff, and it's like, yeah. So you just, no matter what you do, you kind of feel like you're going to get screwed in some way, if you do get the win over it, then yeah, it's more satisfying in that sense. But you like, get
that sense of accomplishment, yeah.
Yeah, it's frustration and excitement at the same time. It's like a weird combo.
So I got the Horace Grant. It was the Central Division Legends this week, so I got a Horace Grant card. So that rounds up my Bulls Legends, because I've got Pippen, Rodman, and Kukoc already. So I've got them. I've got a DeMarcus Cousins Big Moments card, which is a pretty decent card, but like a lot of them, it's maybe a little bit underrated, but I'm using my 90s All-Stars anyway. trying to get more three-point shooting, which is why I was using Mullen. I got another card. I can't remember who the other card I got, but yeah, just those comeback victories were quite... I might make a video out of it, because I did actually save the final minutes of both games, so I might make a bit of a mix, put that together as a Monday tip-off feature in the near future. But that was... yeah, that was pretty rewarding and satisfying, even though it was quite an arduous journey to get there. Other thing I did this week, because I was getting some screenshots for a future Friday 5, and it's part 5 and 6 of my... I just posted part 4 of my retro teams that I'd like to see in 2K, Ben.
Yep.
I've already pre-written drafted 5 and 6, parts 5 and 6 as well. I just kind of drafted them all, got in a roll one night and did them all. Realized I needed to get some screenshots for them for when I post them later on. And at this point, realized that I'd said that I'd, for a couple of the teams that I have listed in the article, that they don't actually have their jerseys in the game. So I ended up going into my league and the community creations, community uploads, and finding people that had done that rebranding already and actually got the screenshots that way. I won't spoil who it is, but maybe people can guess by the the mention of omitted jerseys. And that's something I'd really like to see in future 2K games and live as well, is that full complement of retro jerseys for every team. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Because even as it is like now, if you go to the Nuggets, for example, they don't have the designs from the mid-90s through to before Carmelo Anthony got there, which are the same jerseys that the 94 Nuggets wear, which are in the game, but the regular Nuggets don't have access to them. So there's little things like that I'd like them to clean up.
Yeah, you know, and some of those jerseys were really nice and all that stuff. So the fact that, they've been missing for a while, or they'll have, what was it, I'm trying to remember, I think it was last year in 2K, you could buy or get, like, a version of it for, like, your My Career player, but it wasn't actually available as a team jersey in that sort of sense. So that was kind of annoying. I think that Nuggets one, like the navy one, navy red and the gold one, you know, that was a bit concerning, because that was a good
that's my favorite Nuggets jersey today, absolutely. Even for the all-time teams as well, because you'd think you really need to go back. I mean, for example, the all-time Thunder, if they could just get a Sonics jersey on there as well, so that you could play with Kemp and even Durant and some of the others who are Sonics in the all-time Thunder, to only be able to play with the Thunder jerseys. Might be a legal issue, I'm not sure, but a licensing issue, I should say. But if it's not, definitely get all the jerseys in there in the history of that the franchise, because it's kind of a shame to be missing them. But
it'd be cool to play with, like, the Kemp and Peyton era, and also like the Ray Allen and Rashad Lewis, even then eventually Durant era before he obviously
because he 1 year in Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, so Seattle had some awesome jerseys back in the day, too.
They did. Owen Durant appears in the NBA Live 09 intro wearing the Sonics jersey still. I found some suitable designs, so I haven't written down who did them. There were a few people who had made designs that were suitable, and of course they came complete with courts that were accurate as of the year as well, so thank you to those people for uploading those resources. I'd love to see those resources, those creations. I'd love to have access to them outside of my league, so that and my GM, etc., so that you could actually we could rebrand the league, and maybe again licensing issues could be an issue there. But imagine being able to do that. I mean, that would revolutionize modding, being able to import textures within the game like that and rebrand teams.
Oh yeah, that'd be the fantastic thing to do. Definitely a throwback to what we could do back in the day, or even now, I suppose, on PC in that sort of sense.
And even on PC, simplifying the process, it would be fantastic. But I did actually see some NBL designs in there. I saw some Brisbane Bullets gear for rebranding, so that was pretty cool, and some other international teams as well. So a lot of people doing some really good work with the community uploads. And the rebranding.
That's really cool.
So that was cool to see. Apart from that, that's pretty much all I've been doing. Playing a bit of NBA 2K9, as I said. And I will just put it out there that game doesn't hold up as well as a game like 2K11, 12, or 13. but it did start the NBA 2K series on PC, so we are grateful for that, obviously. But that's about all I've been doing. But you've been playing a bit of Live 18 and 2K18.
Yeah, I mean, today it was just had a pretty big session of it all. Was pretty busy throughout the week and that, so squeezed in some time today, which was really good. I got in 5 games of live events, especially with yesterday, today, and tomorrow being the EA Give to Play or Play to Give. Give to Play is the one. You know, there's some special bonus items that you can get from that with some of the shirts and things like that. So, yeah, I had about 1 win out of the 5 games. You know, again, finding players that I could sort of gel with or who played well together in that sort of sense. And then, decided to sort of play a bit of the 3-on-3 because I hadn't done that one for a while in live and that. So took a little while to get a game in, but I finally got one. Team had a win in that one, which was good, and threw down a nice 360 alley oop in that, which is kind of unexpected and almost as surprising as that reverse 360 East Bay that I did during
the 2v2. Yeah.
So it was kind of like that. I didn't think that I had pressed the button in time or enough so to sort of catch it, because I think the pass is unexpected. So when it did happen, I was like, oh, sweet. So I did capture that. So
it's cool when moments in video games just take you by surprise like that in basketball games, that you can say, oh, you know, I've seen animations a bunch of times, but that one brought me out of my seat. That one got me fired up.
Yeah, and it was cool. I was actually chatting to Mario at the time on PSN and that. And when it happened, I was like, yes, yeah, surprised by it. It wasn't the play of the game, though. It was an earlier dunk that I did in the game that was play of the day. I was like, kind of like, oh, the 360 alley-oop was a bit better than that. But yeah. So I didn't get to see the replay of it in that sense, but it was still cool. And then went into game of the one in the league in that, and had a pretty solid win over Portland Trailblazers. So really happy with that. And then just before we recorded, I was like, well, I'm also trying to get in a little bit of time with DK just to, because I felt like the last few weeks hadn't played both games enough in that sort of sense. So I felt like I need to contribute more to this part of the podcast. So I was originally going to play one game, but because I forgot to change the setting, so it was like 3-minute quarters. So I was like, all right, I can squeeze in a second game. So what I did was I played 2 Play Now games using the all-time Miami Heat rosters.
Yep.
And I played the first game against the Timberwolves, just this season's Timberwolves. And, yeah, had a pretty solid win from that. And then played the second game against this year's 76ers. And, yeah, again, had another good solid win out of that. And, again, it was just sort of a bit of fun and just sort of something to do, and it was a little bit different. And in modes that, you know, had been one to sort of play a bit more in 2K and all that stuff, since I've just been focused on my career in Pro-Am side of things and that. So it was good to sort of play something a little bit different in that sort of sense. And
I know what you mean, and it's very easy when you're when you're focusing on my career, which we've done so much because of Pro-Am the last couple of years. You miss out on a lot of the historical content, like playing with the new all-time teams or the historical teams that they've added. I did play 96 Bulls versus 96 Sonics, I just remembered earlier this week as well, just a bit of a muck-around game with that. It's fun, you know. And obviously I do play the occasional game. I haven't got into a My League this year like I wanted to, but you know, maybe next year, or later this year, I should say. Just having a few Play Now games and playing something different, it's been refreshing. So I know, I definitely hear where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, it definitely makes, yeah, it's just with Marker and it's just too much of a grind that you know, especially if you're wanting to try and get to that like 90 and above, it just makes it difficult to invest the time in the other modes, because that's almost it. Definitely. Playing Marker, it feels like a full-time job in a sense, just to grind. So yeah, it was nice to sort of take a break from that, but you know, still play the game in that sense.
It is a big commitment, yeah.
That
as far as in the context of the game, that you can't spend the time with the modes and juggle them, which is, and that's the problem, because if you want to get into one mode later, you're really playing from behind, like whether it's my team or my team or my career, especially. I mean, my league, my GM doesn't really matter. You can start those at any time and have fun. But the fact that you are going up against other people and you've got all these other, you know, having to level up and either amass the team or get the ratings leveled up in my career, you've really got to be hitting it, dividing the time and managing your time in a way that makes it kind of wasteful.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it kind of sucks. That's what's how the games work out this year in that sort of sense. But, yeah, it is what it is, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah, I suppose. But, because you've been looking to play some games with the all-time Heat for a while, with Eddie Jones, obviously.
Yeah, it was. I had him as my starting shooting guard. I had Wade as point guard. I had Bosch, LeBron, and Alonzo Mourning as the starters. And for second lineup was Tim Hardaway, Glenn Rice.
Is Shaq on there?
Yeah, Shaq's on there. He was in the. So it would have probably had Shaq as center, Whiteside as power forward in that case. And I also had, it was Tim Hardaway, Glenn Rice.
Was it Steve Smith, maybe?
He would have been. Smith was in there. Then Ronnie Cicely. And then there's one more. Damn it, who was it? Oh, there's Haslam as well. And then, can't remember who the other player was now. Ran with that squad, and yeah, I mean, it's fun to use them, and especially that they included like Eddie Jones' signature shoe. It was fun to equip. It was good to equip that finally to him and all that stuff. You know, it's I know it's a small thing, but it's his signature shoe. I've been wanting in the game for such a long time, and that so
it all makes the experience. The little details.
Yeah. So. That was good to have that. It'll probably I'd probably play a little bit more on like 4, maybe 5 minute quarters again, in those sort of modes and that, just to make it go a little bit longer in that. It was just when I started the game and that I didn't realize that it was only a 3 minute quarters that it was on. So
I've done that before too, yeah.
Yeah. So It was just a few minutes fun here and there in that sort of sense. And, yeah, like I said, good to play something a little bit different or, you know, something a little bit more than just what I've been focused on in the other game or in the game. So,
yeah, definitely. So I guess that's pretty much all we've been doing on the virtual hardwood this week, just messing around and not playing 2K Pro-Am.
Yeah.
We didn't end up 2v2 this week. I was thinking of putting out that message on Friday night, but I thought, I'm kind of doing other stuff, and
I'd crashed on Friday. Like, I think I fell asleep probably about 8 o'clock
or something. Probably would have been out anyway. So, but now I do like getting on the 2v2 though. That's been fun. So I guess we'll do that a few more times, maybe before the before we move on to other games.
Yep.
Still need to do some more sessions of Live 18, doing some 3-on-3. I haven't played 3-on-3 yet, so need to get into that.
We'll tee it up this week, I guess.
Sounds good. So before we wrap up, we thought we'd talk a little bit about the real NBA, as we so often do to end each show. The conference finals concluded earlier in the week. The Celtics, for a little while, looked like they might knock off the Cavaliers and get through to the finals. It was not to be. LeBron came on strong. Jeff Green came on strong. Here's the thing, Ben. All these people are talking about LeBron doing it himself. If I'm Jeff Green, I'm refusing to talk to any media outlet that said that. I'm just boycotting them, saying, well, if you're going to marginalize my contributions, those 19 points in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals like that, I've got a quote for you, but you're not going to be able to print it, if you know what I mean. they advanced. Looked like the Rockets were going to get through as well, but they turned around and missed 27 three-pointers in a row, and that is very ugly. That is a very ugly shooting performance, to say the least.
Yeah, I think the previous record was 21. So they kind of like smashed it,
which is I'm surprised that it's been that high. But I guess maybe in years past when teams weren't as proficient shooting three-pointers, but I mean, people talk about threes being worth more than two, and that makes them a better shot, but not if you're missing 27 of them in a row. I mean,
exactly. Maybe that just becomes ugly-ass basketball. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, it's terrible. It's
surely there would have had to be a better option inside. You know, maybe...
Apparently not. didn't say so.
If you miss two or three in a row, then you probably want to start looking inside. But to miss 27 straight shots in threes, that's...
Yeah, like maybe that's not your shot tonight. Maybe it's not the way to go. Because over the course of a couple of games, Harden himself missed 20 in a row or more. Mm. So for them to do it as a team in a single game, that certainly shot them out of the game. The Warriors came storming back. That brought us to the finals, part four of the Cavs versus the Warriors. You and I are very excited for this matchup. I haven't boycotted it yet. I did watch game one. It did turn out to be a rather thrilling game. LeBron with a huge game, the 51 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Shot the ball very well, obviously. They didn't have much of an answer for him. I don't know why they were putting Stephen Curry on LeBron James. That is not a good defensive matchup by any stretch of the imagination. Don't know what Klay Thompson... I mean, normally they put Iguodala on there and he's out. Klay Thompson, I think, would have been a better option than Stephen Curry, frankly. Durant would have been a better option than Stephen Curry, but nevertheless, LeBron was pretty unstoppable for most of the game until there was a call overturned where he appeared to get the charge. It was then changed to a blocking foul, which led to a couple of free throws, and that really just changed the course of the game, leading to that... George Hill missing the free throw, and then rather infamously in meme culture now, J.R. Smith dribbling out the clock in regulation with the score tied, and LeBron was not happy with that.
No. There's a meme now of his reaction almost replacing the Jordan crying meme, so yeah.
Which I'm not unhappy about, because that's really run its course, but
yeah.
I think it ran its course when the Jordan crying meme, the crying face appeared on Chris Paul's finger. That was maybe the jump the shark moment of that particular image macro.
Given how much of, like, the actual crying face you could actually see, it was like, it wasn't even worth the effort.
It's a stretch.
It was like, are you kidding me? You couldn't even really tell what the hell it was. Yeah. Like, so it was like such a pointless thing. But yeah, that J.R. Smith moment is, or even like the overcall, the overturn call.
Which I guess is the real controversy, because that did open it up for the Warriors to be able to get the game there at the end and force the overtime, really. I mean, it wasn't the final shot of the game, but it's a big momentum changer, because if it goes the other way, the Cavs can seal that with a basket.
Yeah.
And the league has kind of admitted fault with that one. I thought the big problem seems to be that it was overturned, because looking at it with the way LeBron leaned into Durant, that is, I think you can call that a blocking foul because he moved into him and leant into him. But the fact that it was overturned is, it's definitely going to, you can see why people are upset with that, basically.
Yeah, you know, it's... Yeah, it definitely has that sense of uneasiness in terms of how much of a difference time after was it overturned and all that stuff. Was it, if it's there's a decision going on between the refs, like, straight away to confirm what decision they're going to make, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But if the call had been made and then, say, if it's, like, overturned, like, 30 seconds to a minute later, then it's, like, and that's a bit shady in that sort of sense.
Which it was, because they did have it called both ways, but then they took ages to do it, and they went to the replay, and it was questionable whether they could even go to the replay. So, yeah. But, you know, so I'm reminded of something my old coach used to tell us, which is that you can't rely on every call to be made correctly or go your way to win the game. And ultimately, you know, they had the opportunity there with George Hill's free throws and with the final shot where they didn't take a timeout and just dribbled it out. And then they had an overtime period where I thought LeBron was going to get to the 60 points, but he only scored, only got to the 51. But considering how hot he was, I thought he was going to go off for 60 something and set a new record. And then the Warriors pulled away, so there was still opportunity for the Cavs to win that game. So, you know, obviously you can be upset about the call, but, you know, it was a winnable game. And it was a winnable game because the Warriors look really flat. They look like they were pretty disinterested in the whole thing. I think they need to get their... they can't just show up. The Warriors need to show up and play their best. If the Warriors show up and play their best, they can obliterate that Cavs team, even with LeBron playing so well, because his teammates aren't... It's not the strongest team he's been on. Mm. But they didn't really look that interested in... They thought they'd just show up and win, and they really... needed a bit of luck and a questionable call to get it done. So I think the Warriors, although I still favor them, they do still need to show up, because if they just try and waltz through it, I think they will be caught. They could be caught by surprise.
Yeah, it's I know it's a long season and all that stuff, but you know, this is when they're supposed to be at their peak and at their most engaged and all that stuff. But yeah,
LeBron,
you definitely
don't. Is, so
yeah, and. With the whole refing situation, you definitely don't want that element being the determining factor in the series. You want the teams to definitely play their ass off, and
let it be decided on the floor.
So, but from what I've heard, like, and I think I saw that LeBron was trying to call a timeout, and there was a failure for the refs to.
To acknowledge it, kind of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, there's even a bit of fault there, potentially. You know, that they... Were they even focused or, you know, paying attention themselves in that sort of sense? And, you know, if you give what J.R. Smith said, and, you know, if you believe what he said in that sort of sense... And then
well, he changed his story a couple of times as well, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so... that halftime Henny. there was definitely a potential failure of the refs to acknowledge and hear or to recognize the timeout call, which obviously wasted time on the clock in that sort of sense. So, you know, you got to have that sort of awareness in that sense at the refs as definitely. Well. So, well, the refs have got to have that kind of awareness as well. So, yeah, a few unusual circumstances that could have. You know, that changed the game in that sort of sense, and maybe not for the best in a lot of ways. Because it probably, yeah, the few instances became questionable and put in terms of how it altered the outcome in that sort of sense. So, yeah.
But from here out, I mean, I still favor the Warriors. I have them winning in four, five at the most. I do think they're going to have to actually show up and play better than they did in Game 1, especially when it goes back to Cleveland for Games 3 and 4. But it is still very hard to pick against them because they are so stacked, especially even without Iguodala, and especially compared to the Cavaliers. So I think if they show up and they actually care and they play their game and Stephen Curry continues to casually hit shots from 35 feet and beyond like he did to tie the game at the half... I think it's going to be yet another title for the Warriors.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be hard to stop if they in full attention mode and stuff like that. So, I think it could potentially go to six games, but again, it would depend on how the Cavs bounce back after the unusual game one in that sort of sense. So.
Mm. Whether it's going to be such on their minds mentally,
yeah.
Whether they can get it done, but I guess we will find out. I have not tuned out of the finals just yet, even though I did say that I was considering it with it if it happened 4 years in a row. But you know, it is the NBA finals. I'm a basketball fan, so it's kind of hard to tune out, even if I wanted other teams to be there.
Yeah.
So that has brought us to the end of episode number 251 of the NLSC podcast. As always, we hope you enjoyed it. If you did, feel free to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on the Stitcher app and other podcast catcher applications. Or keep streaming on the NLSC itself, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show. That is the main thing. If you'd like to connect with us, give us feedback on the show or anything else to do with the site, you can connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. You can also find our pictorial exploits on Instagram at NLSC Basketball. And of course, give a look to the NLSC itself, NBA-Live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is going to do it for episode number 251. Until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like a charging call.